This is record.
So loud.
You are going to play like this one. You know?
No, it's okay.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. So this is the tone, the tune for Mangala Arati. Should not be changed to anything else. Prabhupada said like that. This is the tune because this is the raga for this time of the morning. Before the sunrise. Nava Muhurta.
This is Bhupa.
Huh? Prabhupada. Huh?
This is Bhuparaga.
Bhuparaga. Yeah. Prabhupada said it should be like that. So we have to this sometimes when we change things. I'm bad every day saying to let me change something else. But we should not be like that. We should, you know, rules regulation. We should not change. One morning I was in Alachua temple. And, you know, they're big community, 300 families. You know, every morning Mangala Arati, you know, 70, 80, 100 devotees, you know, come. So, Jayavetta Maharaj was there. And they asked me to chant for a Tulsi Puja. So I chanted Tulsi Puja. And at the time of chanting Hare Krishna, after chanting, you know, this Kirtan, Tulsi Kirtan, I start to chant this same tune. Usually what they have some particular tune they chant. They get accustomed to it, they always chant like that. So I chanted this tune, the Mangala Arati tune. After the Kirtan, Jayavetta Swami came to me and said, I was so happy to hear you sing this tune. So happy, he said. Nobody do like that. Because, you know, we have like certain things that we get, you know, into sometimes, you know. Everybody do certain way, we also do everything, same thing, you know. Like this Tulsi Puja, they have certain tune after the Tulsi Puja. Everybody, you know, everywhere, all over the world, they sing like that. But doesn't mean it's the best thing, you know. If we can chant also the same Mangala Arati tune, is even better. Because that's still the time for that raga is still there. See? Okay. So that being said, now let me tell you about the Narsinghamantra. I've heard so many different versions of chanting the Narsinghamantra. Different everywhere. Not only, I mean, everywhere. All over the world.
Yoganarsimha.
Yeah. Narasingha, Narasingha, so many mixed up, you know. I hear Prabhupada personally today chanting this mantra. He was teaching the word. He chanted perfectly. Exactly as the song book says. If you have doubt, look at the song book and chant exactly as it is here. You will have no problem. You will not make no mistakes. But even when I chant properly, the other think I'm chanting improperly because they're accustomed to chant in the wrong way. So they can't follow what I'm saying. They think maybe he's wrong, you know. But I'm trying to follow what exactly the song book says. And what is that? Ito nrisimha parato nrisimho. One nrisimha and one nrisim. Yato yato yamitato nrisimha. Bahir nrisimho ridaye nrisimho. One nrisimha, one nrisimho, another nrisimha, two nrisimho. Yanadev Narasingham Adim Sharanam Prapare. Many of them say Narasingha. It doesn't say Narasingha, it says Narasingha. So we want to preface it as a detail, you know, but not perfect Sanskritist, you know. But what is the difficulty in pronouncing the correct way? Well, Prabhupada himself taught us to do it like that. Why we have to change? That's the problem we have, you know. This tendency always changing things, you know. And then becomes like a normal thing. Huh? Even also Tulsi Puja, I have a hard time in Mexico because they've been doing for years the wrong way, chanting the mantra in the wrong way. And when I try to correct, everybody got disturbed. Mm-hmm. Everybody got disturbed because we've been doing for years like that. But gradually they understood and they look at the book and so they thought that was not my, you know, speculation. I think.
Everybody thinks Namo Namo. Actually, Namo Namaha.
Yes, correct. Namo Namaha. Correct. Here it is. Namo Namaha. Huh? That's the correct.
So after the Narasimha Mandana, so we sing them Jai Shri Prabhupada and things like that.
Huh?
After Narasimha Mandana, whatever written the book, can you add something then? Like we say, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Well, there's nothing wrong with chanting Jaya Prabhupada. I mean, everybody chants.
If we just follow the book, and then if it's not in the book, then it is right to do that.
Well, I mean to say, it's not absolutely necessary to add more things. But since we are accustomed to do it, no harm. No, how? Because we chant Guru Puja, Prabhupada, everybody chants. There's nothing wrong with that. But we should not think that kirtan can end unless we chant all the jai, jai, jai. Prabhupada chanted, he always finished with the Maha Mantra. He didn't add anything more than that. He finished with the Maha Mantra. But if somebody, many times in temples, I finish with the Maha Mantra, everybody look at me like, what's something missing? What's wrong with you? You're not chanting, what is this? Even temple doesn't approach me, you have to chant, this jai jai, It's not absolutely necessary. I mean, nothing hard to do it, but it's not, absolutely necessary. You have to do it.
In Father Prabhupada, don't
you? Yes. Right. It's not like you have to chant all the names of all the deities and this temple, that temple, the other temple, everywhere. It's not. Main thing Prabhupada said in kirtan is the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. Sometimes the devotee chant the little Hare Krishna and so many jais, 10-15 minute jais. But actually the jais, Prabhupada will say after kirtan. Premadwar, jai om Vishnupad, all the jais are there. but we want to chant all the jais after, before finishing the kirtan. Anyway, some details, but it's there, we should know those things,
Please emphasize that, Prabhupada. Yeah. Give a ruling.
And it's also not necessary to chant jai Lakshmi Narsingha. Yeah. First of all, we don't have deities of Lakshmi Narsingha.
Okay.
First of all, no need. And second, the Prabhupada never taught us to chant like that. We are adding new things, So we should, not necessarily add more things than necessary.
This is started by Vaikuntha Pati was sent. He was singing, so if we are following him.
You understand. But since there are no deities of Lakshmi Narsingha anyway, so what is the need to chant? We worship Radha Krishna. We are not Vaikuntha followers. So some details, it's now our fast rule in chanting the holy name. But Prabhupada, he set the standard how to chant, actually. And Jayalalita Swami, he wrote very nice, in a sarcastic way, he wrote the Ten Commandments for chanting in the ISKCON religion. Very, very funny, very funny. You have to read this, Well, maybe I can print, I have it. I have to print it and we can read it together.
One thing I said, thou shalt not chant more than two tunes.
First he said, first rule, you have to chant as many tunes as come to your mind. Second, you should not chant one tune more than 3 minutes. You have to change to other tune. You should not stay one tune. You have to change as many tunes as you can. And if you should not chant the tune of Mangalarti, Mangalarti. And if you do it, you should change it immediately after. Make rules like that. Very funny. You have to read it. It's very funny. Okay, we can read it maybe in the evening or tomorrow.
Yeah.
We can print maybe.
You may not get it printed.
Okay, I'll send to you. Okay. Any question in this regard? Comments on this? Okay, let us read the Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
When I sneeze, I say Achyuta. Krishna's name, We're reading from Canto 11, Chapter 29, Bhakti Yoga. We are reading text today, text 11. Pritaksa trinava mahyam parvayatra mahotsavan karayet gita nityadhyay Maharaja Vibhuti. Translation. Either alone or in public gatherings with singing, dancing and other exhibitions of royal opulence, one should arrange to celebrate those holy days, ceremonies and festivals set aside specially for my worship. is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. No problem, next verse, next text 12. With a pure heart one should see me, the super soul, within all beings and also within oneself. To be bought and blemished by anything material and also present everywhere, both externally and internally, just like the omnipresent sky. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord has spoken the present verse to attract those who are inclined. Jayo. Please repeat with me the verse, so we can keep it in the mind. You know, sometimes we hear, we don't hear. You know. With a pure heart,
with a pure heart,
one should see me.
One should see me,
the supreme soul,
the supreme soul,
within all beings,
within all beings,
and also within oneself,
and also within oneself.
To be bought and blemished,
to be bought and blemished
by anything material,
by anything material,
and also present everywhere,
and also present everywhere.
Both externally and internally.
Both externally and internally.
Just like the omnipresent sky.
Just like the omnipresent sky.
According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord has spoken the present verse to attract those who are inclined toward philosophical speculation about the Absolute Truth. Such transcendental scholars searching for the ultimate unity will be attracted by the Lord's manifestation described here. So, there is nothing wrong with philosophical speculation. Wrong is mental speculation.
Okay.
There is difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. What is the difference? Okay. Let me try to explain the difference. There is a difference between the two. Although they are both called the speculation, but philosophical is different from mental. Philosophical means based on philosophy, from the Vedas. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Rasoham apsu kaunteya, I am tasting water. So philosophical speculation will be, oh, let me try to understand how is that Krishna is tasting water. And mental speculation will be, is it true that Krishna is tasting water or maybe not? You understand? It's a difference. One is trying to understand philosophically how it is true, what is Krishna saying. The other is doubting, maybe it is true or maybe not. That's mental speculation. So there's subtle difference, but there is. So philosophical speculation is not discouraged. As much as you come to the right conclusion, afterward. So, Krishna Chakravarti explained that the Lord spoke this verse to attract those who are inclined to philosophical speculation about the Absolute. So that they will come finally to the ultimate conclusion that Krishna is the origin of Paramatma and Brahman and everything. Krishna just speaks about Paramatma and, you know, presence everywhere. No? Within all beings. That's Paramatma. Paramatma is being present in all beings, also within oneself. So there is a partial aspect of the Lord. Paramatma feature. And to understand Paramatma is one aspect of the understanding of the Absolute. Not the ultimate, but the middle. First, Brahma. What is that verse in the Bhagavatam explaining this?
Vedanti
tattva viras tattamya jnana madvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. That the seers of the truth, they concluded that this the transcendental absolute truth is understood in three aspects. the same truth, the same absolute truth, is understood in three aspects. The Brahman is the effulgence, Brahma Jyoti, of the Lord, coming from His body. This energy of the Lord coming from His body, in one sense, not different from Him. So God is both personal and impersonal at the same time. But the personal is more important than the impersonal. Because from the person comes the impersonal. So it's more important. The problem with the Mayavadis is that they think the impersonal is all in all. There is nothing more than that. Prabhupada had different conversation in Venezuela, different groups. One group was metaphysical society. Yeah. One famous lady, she wrote many books about metaphysics and all this. And she was arguing with Prabhupada about this impersonal idea. So her idea was that the name of God is to say, to chant, I am. Like mental speculation. Because Prabhupada was preaching to another man who was a practice of Hatha Yoga. Came two groups, that evening two groups came. First came the Hatha Yoga group. And Prabhupada was preaching to this man. Very good Paka examples about personal and impersonal. So, because Prabhupada asked this man, do you believe in God? I said, yes, of course. What is your idea about God? Well, God is unlimited and all-powerful and this and that, you know. And Prabhupada said, what is the difference between the material and the spiritual? He said, material is temporary, spiritual is eternal. Prabhupada said, that's correct. But the man added that God can't have form or name because that's limitation. He added that. Mayavadi. So Prabhupada told him, so you accept that God created this world? I said, yes, yes, sure. So Prabhupada said, I'm talking to you through this microphone. And that means some engineer put all the elements together to make it work. That means there is a brain behind this microphone. The same way, with our tiny brains, we may manufacture big airplane, 747, 500 passengers, maybe 200, you know, 1-200 of those planes. But God, with His unlimited brain, He created millions and millions of planets full of mountains and oceans and living entities, and all these are floating in space. So with our tiny brain, we create limited, you know, things. And God, with His unlimited brain, He creates unlimited things. Do you agree with that? So the man was, you know, do you mean that God has a brain? And Prabhupada said, yes, thank you very much. Really, Prabhupada stressed the person, you know, because brain means person, you know. Unless you believe in science fiction, you know, that sometimes they put a brain floating in some liquid and sending signal to people to do these things, you know. This is all mental speculation. So finally, the man was asking more questions and Prabhupada giving more nice examples. At the end, the man was asking, the last question he asked, he said, Master, can you please tell me how to practice Krishna consciousness while I am in family life and, you know, entangled in this world, how can I do? How can I practice? Prabhupada liked the question, you know. Prabhupada smiled, he showed the devotees. He said, you do like they're doing. Chant the name of the Lord, chant Hare Krishna. So that lady was already there, here, was hearing, and she protested. She said, I think this chanting of Hare Krishna is some kind of hypnosis. Like some tribes in Africa, they get in, you know, trance, chanting different things. Prabhupada said, that is your opinion. You are not an authority. And Prabhupada quoted Krishna's authority. Satatam kirtayam tamam. My devotees are always chanting my glories. So she argued, she said, well, in the western part of the world, the spiritual authority is Saint Germain, you know, some French philosopher, you know, mental speculator. And according to him, the name of God which will chant is I Am. Prabhupada said, I Am is not a name. Jehovah is a name, Christ's name, you know, Allah is a name, but not the I Am. I Am is not a name. He said, no, no, no. In the Bible it is said that when Moses asked God, because God asked him to go to Egypt to free his people, if they ask me who sent me, what should I say? And apparently God told him in the Bible, tell him, I am who I am. That means he wasn't ready to know who's God. He wasn't ready for that revelation yet. Prabhupada said, that's all right. God can say I am, you can say I am. But I am are not the same. She said, well, in essence, we are all one. She said. Prabhupada said, essence means a spirit. You are a spirit, and God is a spirit, but He is the supreme spirit. You are the tiny spirit. In the Bible it is said that God said, let there be creation, and immediately creation came out. But if you are hungry and you say, let there be chapati, no chapati will come out. You have to work to get the chapati. In this way Prabhupada defeated all the argument, you know. Finally she agreed, yes, okay, we are part of the absolute of the world. Prabhupada said, okay, bring pasara. So there are two types of impersonalists. One is called Mayavadi, and the other is called Brahmavadi. The Mayavadi, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mayavadi Krishna Paradi, they are offenders to Krishna. Because they said that Krishna's form is made of Maya. They think when Krishna comes to this world, he takes a form of material energy in the mode of goodness. So that is, you know, offense. That's aparata. Prabhupada quoted one Dr. Radhakrishnan. He wrote commentary in Bhagavad Gita. He was Prime Minister before in India. And he wrote purport on the verse. Krishna said, no, sarva dharmam parityaja, you know, give up all religion, surrender to me. In the purport he writes, no, we should not surrender to Krishna. I mean, Krishna saying surrender to me, he's saying, no, we should not surrender to Krishna. Then, jugglery world, he said, no, we should surrender to the unborn inside of Krishna. What that means? That means he's making offense. He's making difference between inside and outside Krishna. Krishna inside, outside is same, spiritual. He's saying that Krishna has material body and inside is soul. It's an offense. He says, misdirecting people, you know. Misguiding people from the actual understanding. But people who are ignorant don't know, they think, oh, such a nice words, you know. Very, very philosophical, very good. People are ignorant. They don't know what is the truth. They're easily misled by this Mayavad philosophy. Mayavad philosophy is spread all over India, you know. So much, you know, influence is there by them. And they worship also the Murti, you know. You know that? Mayavadi, they also worship five deities. According to Pachopasana. They worship Ganesh, Durga, Shiva, Lord Vishnu, and who was? And Surya. Five deities they worship. And what is their idea? They said, this worship is just to purify your mind. When your mind is pure, then you can meditate on the impersonal Brahma. That is the ultimate goal. Because all gods are one. Everything is one. This imaginary form. Form doesn't exist. It's just imagination. So they don't have, although they may worship Vishnu, they have no faith in the eternal form of the Lord. So they are Mayavadis, they are impersonalists. And sometimes you find Mayavadis even chanting Hare Krishna with Vaishnavati. Once, some years ago, a group came to visit our farm in Spain. I was there. And they came with Shika, Tilak, you know, Kantimal, everything like devotees. We thought, oh, these are devotees of Krishna. And they told us they are followers of Swami Tilak. One Swami called Tilak. And okay, we, in the conversation we found out how we celebrate Janmashtami, Govardhan Puja, everything. Oh, that's very nice. But then they started to speak that actually everything is one, everything is Krishna. We are Krishna, you are Krishna, everything is one. Like that. So we started to preach to them. They insisted, no, you know, we are God like that. So one of them told me, can I please use the bathroom, sir? You, if you are God, what is the need for you to go to the bathroom? You don't need to go to the bathroom. How is that God is an urgent need to go, you know? If you are God, you can control your body, you know. You don't have to do these things. No, no, please, I'm very needed there also. So then admit you are not God. How God can be in ignorance? Then ignorance is more powerful than God. If you are controlled by your body, material energy, how is that? You can be God. It's foolishness. Sheer foolishness. But people believe in these things, you know. Because Prabhupada said the last snare of Maya is to believe oneself God. It's the last snare of Maya. You know? Because they don't make it in the material world. They try hard, they can't become the supreme, you know, the most powerful, the most this, that. So they want to be in the spiritual life the biggest. What is bigger than God? So they want to be God. They are envious of Krishna. That's why Lord Chaitanya said, Mayavadi Krishna Paradi. They are offenders of Krishna. But the Brahmavadi is different. Brahmavadi, they don't offend Krishna. They accept Krishna as God. But they are more attracted to meditate on His impersonal form. That's all. Like the four Kumaras, are example of Brahmavadis, Shukadev Goswami also. But as soon as they enter in touch with pure devotional service, they immediately are attracted, because they are not offenders. But the yogis, they meditate on Paramatma. And still, yogis are, there are two types of yogis. Also, they are, one is a personalist and one is personalist. Both. There are both types of yogis. Those who meditate on Paramatma, understanding His form and accepting His eternal form, they are personalists. I don't think of Paramatma as some manifestation from the impersonal, you know, aspect. They are Mayavadis. So, two are there. But when a yogi becomes pure in heart, meditating on Paramatma, he also becomes pure devotee. But he still has to understand Bhagavan. The ultimate aspect of the Supreme Absolute. Okay. Any comment, questions?
How this so much of complicated this Mayavad philosophy spread all over the world?
Yes. Do you know the story of Mayavad philosophy? Actually, that was Krishna's plan, you know. Because when people were atheist and they were killing so many animals in the name of the Vedas, Lord Buddha came to stop this. So superficially he rejected the Vedas, because in the Vedas there is some mention of animal sacrifice, you know. But people were misusing those quotes in the Vedas to unrestrictedly kill the poor animals. That is said that those who are mediators, to, you know, to control them, it is said that only once in a month, in a full moon night, they can sacrifice an animal like a goat to Goddess Kali. But before killing the animal, they have to say a mantra in the ear of the animal. They have to say, now I am killing you to eat your meat. Next life, you will kill me and eat my meat. So this is to discourage people from animal killing. Not to encourage, but to discourage. And to control that. Once in a year, once in a month, only you can. But people were misusing that to kill unrestrictedly every day. So Lord Buddha came and superficially he rejected the Vedas. He said, no, Mahimsa, non-violence. Thus. But then, Lord Krishna, to establish the Vedas again, he sent Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is in the avatar of Shiva. It's pure devotee to the Lord. But the Lord asked him to do like that, to preach this philosophy. Why? Because people saw atheists at that time, because of Buddha's philosophy, that to establish again the authority of the Vedas, he has to do it in an indirect way.
But though he preached him this, but his worship is Vaishnava worship in the temples what he established in Kerala.
Obviously he is Vaishnava. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. Even in the at the last stage of his life, Shankaracharya said, Bhajagovindam, 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 so what? And the jugglery of words will not help you at the time of death. You should, you know, worship Govinda. But the followers, they thought, oh, the Guru, Guruji is God crazy at the time of death, you know. Something. They didn't accept.
They locked him up, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, they're completely crazy. And he also glorified Bhagavad Gita and Krishna, you know. But he gave this impersonal explanation to introduce so people, at least people will accept the Vedas again. Once the Vedas are established, then Krishna sent Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya to defeat the Shankaracharya philosophy. That was the plan, you know? Gradual way to establish Vedas again. Yes, I mean, Lord Buddha came to teach Ahimsa non-violence and Buddhist day. The same thing happened with the Christians also. Bible says you should not kill, but they also are killing.
I had a Buddhist friend, he told me that they don't kill. But if anything is killed, what is harming? They don't kill.
No, they have the philosophy. I spoke with many Buddhists. You know. They have the philosophy that you should eat meat with compassion. Such a strange philosophy. But before you eat the meat, you ask forgiveness to the animal. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to eat it. You're already dead, so anyway, what is it? You know? Foolishness, just sheer foolishness. And this came from one Buddhist monk many hundred years ago, that he was begging food from house to house, and nobody gave him anything. So, one bird fell dead on his bow. So Lord Buddha sent me this, I have to eat this. So mental speculation, you know. So that way they speculated that, okay, if somebody give you meat, you have to eat. Because the Lord sending you this. Yeah. Once I went to a TV program in Miami, and they invited us for, you know, speak about Krishna consciousness. And before us there was some Buddhist group. And one lady representing the group was speaking. She was saying, I couldn't believe she was what she was saying. She was saying that we are a branch of Buddhism and our philosophy is the more you enjoy materially, the more you become enlightened spiritually. So the biggest materialists are the most enlightened person. So crazy. And when she came out, I spoke with her and I told her, are you veg or non-veg? No, no, we eat everything. How is that? Lord Buddha said, Ahimsa non-violence. How you? No, we are different branch. They have also deviation in the same, you know, like that. I mean, this is the material world, this is Kali Yuga. What can you expect? People have this tendency to speculate, and to deviate and do so many crazy things. You know. But we have to be careful ourselves in this country, you know, that because sometimes you hear the body speculating, like saying very, very strange things. Yes. So I'm always trying to follow Guru Shastra and Sadhu, not to deviate. It's very easy to deviate. Sometimes I hear very strange things, the body come to tell me, this is true, I hear this. Who told you this? Many times Prabhupada himself chastised devotee like that. Because Prabhupada wants, because there is devotees to be accepted, they will say, oh, Prabhupada said this. Mm. And Prabhupada once told them, I would like to meet that Prabhupada, they say Prabhupada said. I would like to meet that Prabhupada. Who's that Prabhupada?
In Vrindavan we keep hearing everything we try to do, then all these Jainabandhu, all these people come. Prabhupada never liked it. Prabhupada never did this way. To paint the temple, to everything, small things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bhima said, these people were never there with Prabhupada. How they talking?
Hare Krishna. Fortunately we have, you know, everything recorded, you know. Imagine at the time of you know, Jesus Christ, all these people, they have nothing recorded what he said, so after they can say anything he said, you know. Very easy. That's why so much confusion.
The Bible was also not recorded?
60-70 years after Jesus left this world. I mean, that was many years after. I mean, you remember something after 60 years? I mean, how much can you remember really? Verbatim, you know? They can add their own ideas also.
Prabhupada clearly says that. They amended Bible several times.
Yeah, yes. Even recently, you know that sometimes we preach to the Christians that Bible says you should not kill. Sometimes they say, no, this means only killing human being. Prabhupada give the argument, then God would have said, you should not murder, which refers only human beings. Kill means everything, animal also. Now they are having Bibles, new Bibles. The commandment they changed to, you should not murder. Yeah, they change. Because we give them so much, you know. Trouble with that. They decided to change it. And also, the Christian theologian found out that many words in the Bible are badly translated from the original. Original Aramaic and Old Greek. And for example, there are words that says broma, trophe, which means food. But they translate it as fish and meat. Doesn't say that. They are mistranslating these things. Actually, Prabhupada said,
thou shalt not be killed.
Yeah. But they translate it, should not murder. Because that means only human beings. Anyway, Prabhupada said once that scriptures like the Quran, the Bible, all, you know, Testament, New Testament, they are not eternal scriptures. They are according only to times, circumstances. Not like the Vedas are eternal, coming from the Lord. And the scriptures are for the Melecha Yavana, for the meat eaters. So it's less knowledge is there, not complete knowledge. Sometimes they give argument, but the Bible said that God said here you can eat meat. Or kill certain animals. Prabhupada used to say, but then God is contradicting himself in your Bible. If you say one time, see, you should not kill, other places, you should not kill. But what I give explanation to them is that after the, you know, that story of Noah, that there was a, what do you call it, when everything was submerged in water. But no, according to the Bible there was something like that happened. And but God told this saint to make a boat so all the animals in pair can come in to save them from the flood. So big flood flooded all the planet. But this saint, all the animals in pair came inside by their own. So to preserve life, you know. So after that, when the water subsided, there was no proper vegetation to eat immediately. So God apparently gave some permission that they can eat meat for the time being. And then later, he gave the commandment to Moses to stop this by saying you should not kill. But I read on the scrolls, the Dead Ocean scrolls, they discovered some scrolls that in that scrolls they made some translation, and one of them, Jesus Christ is speaking to the people. He said, God gave to Moses the commandment, you should not kill. But he, seeing that the Jews were very hard-hearted, so to avoid them to kill each other, he allowed them to kill animals. But by killing animals, their heart became more hard, and they started to kill each other also. But I tell you, Jesus Christ, I tell you, don't kill human beings, don't kill animals. Because if you kill animals, you have to pay reaction. You have to give me account of that. If you eat something dead, your own body will be your own tomb. And if you eat something alive, your tomb, your own body will be your own grave, you know? Meaning, you are putting dead bodies inside your body. That's like a grave, you know? But if it's alive things, it means vegetables, you will have more life. So he was against me, didn't he? But they manufactured this idea, no, he eat fish and this, that. It's all speculation, all mistranslation.
When so many people, they say that, like fish and all, that's not a meat. They call it white meat and red meat. So they say, okay, we should not eat the red meat.
This is like dry stool and wet stool. Stool is a stool, you know. No, the dry stool is better than the, you know. Prabhupada gave an example that the wet stool is laughing at the dry stool. Ah, you will be burned, you will be burned. But he doesn't know that he also will come.
Bengalis, they say fish, no, in Calcutta, no, so Jalpari.
Jalpari.
Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti talks commentary. He gives details about eating fish. He says the person who eats fish is most among the gods.
Sure.
Because fish and water, he eats all kinds of fish.
Yes.
Whatever comes to the
they
water.
They eat each other, all the fish eat each other.
No, even human being also.
Yeah,
they
eat.
They throw the bodies. So the fish eats.
Who eat fish, he eat all kinds of fish.
Yeah, sure. It's completely abominable. Only Prabhupada explained Krishna Bhagavan, Rakshasa they like to eat.
Even in Vedanta also, for this Karmakanda session, they have said, Saukramani Yajna should be performed and then they can eat meat, but not fish. It's most abominable.
Yeah, sure.
Clean it.
I told you the other day, in Mayapur, I saw one Brahmin eating fish. And asked him, what is this? He said, oh, this is Ganga Prasad. So foolish. Kali Yuga, what can you do? It is said, you know, that it is said in Shastra that those demons that Krishna didn't kill, they were born in Kali Yuga and the family of Brahmins. We don't like to hear that.
Hello, Brahmins.
Yeah. All right, Prabhu, thank you very much. Hare Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Okay. Prabhuji, we both need to take rest.